Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
When we come into union with Christ, what happens to Christ is credited to have happened to us. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also were raised into a newness of life. So he says, now we should walk in the newness of life.
I will no longer die to what he died to. Because he died, I'm no longer in my sins. Because he died, I can never be sick. Because he died, I can never be poor. Because he died, I can never be under a curse. Because he died, I can never be a prey to the fowler. My soul has escaped through his blood.
Step into the world of infinite possibilities as you listen to Pastor David Ibichiku today.
A little time and talk to the Lord in an intimate and a passionate way. Talk to him as a father. Talk to him as a father. As your father. Just bless his name in an intimate and a passionate way. Oh, Shate Yakataya. Lele Nambunda Zande Inkaradis Kupradis Kahata. Oh. Jesus Christ, we worship. Heavenly Father, we give you all the glory and we give you all the praise. Thank you for your love, your kindness towards us. Thank you for your great mercies, your compassion towards us. And in this moment, our hearts are open. And we receive of your word. And as you speak, I pray this morning that you minister life to every heart. That you minister light and revelations. That there be an enlightenment of the eyes of our understanding. That you minister strength. Such empowerment and ability to do your will, to walk in the light of your pleasure. Kai, that you minister comfort, encouragement, and edification, that men be transformed from the inside to the outside and be built up by the word. Father God, as we minister your word today, I pray that there be a delivery of our glorious inheritance among the saints in the light to everyone who hears. Let there be a delivery of benefits today in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We give you all the glory. Thank you, because what you're saying today, what you're speaking into our lives today, will not just make for our good, but we make for the good of generations to come. We give you praise and we give you all the glory. In Jesus' precious and mighty name we have prayed. And let the people of the Lord say a very big amen. If you're excited to be in church today, give the Lord a big praise. Praise the Lord. Welcome everyone by your side, and make sure you get to know their names. Make sure there will be no stranger by your side, to the left and to the right. Get them to know how excited you are that they are in church today. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Find every man by your side. There are some of them that are already married and have children. Some are expecting their children. And some will soon be married. At least everybody by your side in less than 10 years will be married. By the grace of God. I know there is no one here that in the next 10 years you're not planning to be married. I bind that. Praise the Lord. Find every man by your side and tell them Happy Father's Day. Make sure you find them. Make sure you're very, very... Come on now. Come on. Come on. Praise the Lord. We started a series, and I will continue with that from the Hills Conference. Somebody say big amen. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say the revelation of the Father-Son order. Shout it again. Say the revelation of the Father-Son order. One of the core things we taught us in the Hills Conference is that whatever God builds, He builds in certain ways. There is a way God builds. So when God wants to build a family, there is a way He builds it. When God wants to build a natural family as we know it, then when God wants to build His spiritual family, God has a family. And God's family is the church, the household of faith, the body of Christ. So when they came to Jesus and they said, your brothers are looking for you, He said, who are my brothers? And He explained exactly the purpose of coming to establish a lineage, to establish a people called out of the world, called out of sin, delivered from the dominion of the devil and of darkness, and brought into the kingdom of God. And He said, these are my brothers, these are my sisters, those who believe in me, those who do my word, the church. I want you to turn to that person by your side and say, the church is God's family. Come on, say it again. The church is God's family. And in Matthew chapter 16, He says, I will build my church. That is Jesus speaking. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I will build my church. And if you're here and you're a man, and God has given you the calling, the responsibility to build a natural family, you must learn how God builds. And when you build how God builds, that house will stand as the house God builds. The Bible talks about the man who hears the word of God and does it is likened to the man who builds his house. What? On a rock. He said the rains will come, the storms will rage, things will beat against, but that house will stand because that house is built on the rock. I will build my church and the gates of hell. So when you build the way God builds, in Psalms chapter 127 verse 1, the scripture declares, unless the Lord builds a house, those who build, build what? In vain. Now, men may try to build, and they may try it, and they will labor to build. But the Bible says their efforts will be futile. Their efforts will be futile. They will build in vain. Whatever they build, they won't stand the test of trials and won't stand the test of time. When the wind and the waves and the storms of life begins to rage, whatever they are building will stand. But there is a way God builds. And when you build the way God builds, whatever you build will stand the test of time. My prayer today is for every man that is under the sound of my voice and every woman that will stand as a helpmate by our side. That family that we are called to build will stand the test of time. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ, we will not build our families in vain. Whoever that word is for, shout your loudest, amen. Amen. Whoever that word is for, shout your loudest, amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, I would like us to go there. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Hold that just one neighbor by your side. Pick one. The final one. I'm just joking. All of them are fine, right? All right. Now call that neighbor by his or her name. I believe you remember. Say, Mr. David. Say, hear the word of the Lord. And read to that neighbor loud, one, two, go. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Tell your neighbor, you are no longer strangers to God. You are no longer foreigners. Say, you are not an outsider. Say, you are not an outcast. Say, but you are a fellow citizen with the saints of God. Say, you've been brought into a holy nation. You belong to the nation of God. Say, I'm members of the household of God. What's another word for household? Family. Somebody say, family. Come on, shout it again. Say, family. Shout it again. Say, family. We are going to come back to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. And then, but I want us to look at Psalms chapter 68, verse 6. Psalms chapter 68, verse 6. I want you to see God's plan. Whenever God creates a human being, naturally, you know, truths, all truths are parallel. As it is in heaven, so it is on earth. You want to understand, all truths are parallel. When God creates a human being on earth, he introduced that human being through a family. There should be a father and there should be a mother that take care of that child. God only created one man without that system, just from within him as he spoke. Then he formed the dust, breathed on that man, and that man became a living being. And then whatever else he wanted to create, he brought out of that man. He brought out of that man. The female man, the wife, he brought out of him. Used the rib from his side to form her. The children that will now continue to come will be between the man and the wife. So a man can decide not to take responsibility. A mother can decide to abandon her own child. But no child was brought into this, into nature, into creation. No child was born without the responsibility of one man and one woman who came together. Whether they were joking, they were playing, they should know that if you joke and sow a seed, seed time and harvest shall not cease. No child is a mistake. What the parents did might be a mistake, but no child is a mistake. What did I say? No child is a mistake. So if you are here and there are certain issues surrounding your birth, you are not a mistake. Others may have made a mistake, but you're not a mistake. Before you were formed in your mother's womb, God foreknew you. Somebody shout a big hallelujah. And he is asking me to tell you now, for I know the thoughts I have for you. They are thoughts of good and not what? Of evil. To give you a future and a hope. To bring you to an expected end. That's what God is telling you. Everything surrounding your birth is because of your purpose. Do you see the things surrounding Moses' birth? God needed it for his purpose. At that moment, hell let loose. Pharaoh decreed every male child born to these slaves, Israelites, must be killed. And yet God was bringing a deliverer. And God used that decree exactly to place Moses right in the very house of the Pharaoh who was seeking him to kill. Right there. Why? God needed Moses to be exposed. He needed him to live like a king, to be trained like a king, to have a free mind. A deliverer can't be a slave. I think it was Abraham Lincoln that said, for you to help the poor, one thing is sure, you just make sure you're not poor first. For you to help the poor, you must make sure you're not poor. For you to free slaves, you have to be a free man. And God needed him to be right there, raised by Pharaoh's daughters. Learned all the things he could learn, become bold, and when it was time, purpose began to speak. And I'm speaking. The Lord has placed a word on my mouth for someone today. The Spirit of the Lord said I should call forth your purpose to begin to speak because your time has come. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the purpose for which you were born, the way you were born, in the manner you were born, with all the issues surrounding your birth, begins to speak now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Why you had to grow up the way you grew up. Why you had to have the childhood you had to. Why you went through all the things you went through. That purpose begins to speak now in your life. I call you forth, Ikarushakata, to begin to manifest purpose. Let that purpose begin to speak in your life in the name of Jesus Christ. Maleprunjandi karadasa. Somebody say here. That is exactly how God also ordained and fashioned it. So I always say, even when children are thrown out on the street, even when they are left by the refuse dump, even when they are abandoned, for that child to survive and grow, God has to give them a substitute family. There has to be an orphanage. There has to be someone else that will come in. It may not be the ideal family, the way God made it, father, mother. But obviously, there's going to be a family. There'll be a father there, a leader. There'll be nurturers, there are mothers who play that role. No child can survive in isolation. No child can raise itself. No child can feed itself. Without a family, creation dies. Without a family. And that's how God has also fashioned it in his kingdom. Spiritually, when you are born again into Christ, you are born a spiritual babe. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. What God does is to set you in a family. Find a church that has a pastor after his heart. He said, I will give you shepherds after my own heart, who will feed you with knowledge and with understanding. I will give you shepherds. Find a man of God that will be a spiritual father. Find all the pastors, all the leaders that will be elder brothers, siblings. Have a mother that will be a mother in Israel. And then you are set in that spiritual family. And God begins to use that place for your training, to feed, to care for you, to encourage you, to discipline you, to correct you, to instruct you until you become a mature man. That's exactly how it is in the spirit. And that's why believers who don't belong to a spiritual family with that in faith. Nobody can grow spiritually without a spiritual family. A person can wake up on Sunday morning and be online. Listen, today they will join this church. Next tomorrow they will join that church. Next tomorrow they will join that church. And in their pride, you know, foolishness is marked by pride. Well, that's one thing about foolishness. Foolishness thinks it knows. In their pride, they think they know. The person can today attend this church. Next tomorrow attend that church. Never avoiding, I don't want to be committed anywhere. I don't want to belong anywhere. I don't want to belong. But that person is walking against God's will. There is nobody who is doing that is not increasing in foolishness because of pride. Nobody grows spiritually without a spiritual family. What did I say? Bring that person. Let him come and see me. Let's just talk for 5 minutes, 10 minutes. And by the grace of God, the person will see his foolishness. Nobody, just like no child, can grow without a family. Whether that child was dropped on the street and some area boys had to take the child, that area boys that stay under the bridge is what? A family. They have people there to nurture that child. It may not be the ideal family, but it's a family. Hold that neighbor by your side. Call him by his or her name. Say, Mr. David. Say, hear the word of the Lord. Read it to that neighbor and read out loud. One, two, go. God sets the solitary in families. He brings out those who are bound into prosperity, but the rebellious will dwell in dry land. So you notice he didn't say God sets the solitary in a family. So somebody say, I belong to the body of Christ. If you belong to the body of Christ, which family of the body of Christ do you belong to? Where is your church? Who is your spiritual father? Who is your spiritual mother? Who can instruct you? Who feeds you? Who nurtures you? Who guides you? Who teaches you the ways of God? Who models faith, righteousness before you? And pastor, I was in a church before and I was hurt. I was this. That's wrong. Just like in natural families, there are people that because of ignorance and sometimes because of the manipulation of the enemy too, they get into a wrong marriage and the marriage is really wrong. Like, you have canceled a few of them that even the Lord himself will lay it in my heart to be praying in tongues for there to be a successful resolution of separation. They have to go apart. Because two cannot work together except they be ugly. You can have one person that is doing everything for that marriage to work. But when you have another one person that makes it impossible. Because even God in all his power will not impose his will on a man. If God is working to change the man and the man is resisting and rejecting that change, there is nothing God can do. And God is not a taskmaster to sentence a man forever to hell. Somebody is beating, abusing, trying to take the life of a person. Somebody is a chronic cheater and womanizer. Has given the spouse diseases at different times. And someone's life and sometimes real sanity is at stake. God is not the one that said, because you made this mistake, you must die here. It's not true. Whoever is teaching you that has not known God and doesn't know the scripture. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's not true. We don't encourage divorce. And let me say it again. God hates what? Divorce. God hates divorce. God hates divorce. But it's like Jesus looking at the Jews and say, how many of you will your ox, your animal fall into the well on a Sabbath day and you won't try to get it out on a Sabbath day? Say, because I healed a man on a Sabbath day, you want to bring all hell loose. You want to let hell loose. That I broke. He said, listen, the law was made for man, not man for the law. That means God will make the law work for your good, not for your destruction. God will not keep a man bound until he dies, because there is a law that says God hates what? Therefore, somebody is beating somebody. I treated a case where this woman has a serious demon, and even when you cast the demon out, she goes back and invites the demon back. And that demon is an expensive demon. When she gets angry and that thing comes upon her, she doesn't break plate. No, it's laptop she will carry. Bam! Anything that is expensive, she will get to their flat screen. Bam! She has gone outside, carried pistol, bam, on the man's windscreen. When she gets angry, if there's anything cheap, she doesn't touch it. Now, by the time they brought the case for me, this man was hooked here because he was a pastor. The man's a pastor. So what will he say? This lady gets angry and carries knife and has stabbed him with knife. So I asked the man of God, what kind of counsel do you need now? Why are you here? What is it that you want me to counsel you about? Beware of asking questions when you already know the answer. Because there is no answer that will be right. Somebody say, I hear. Come on, wave your hands. Are you understanding what I'm saying? They have told women, no matter what, all men cheat. That which is a fat lie from the pit of hell. All men don't cheat. If you're cheating, you're on your own. Let me tell you now, Pastor David does not cheat. And we not cheat. All men don't what? Cheat. And it's not because I'm a pastor. No, all men are tempted to cheat. But temptation is not sin. Resist the devil. What did I say? Resist. Resist temptation. Resist it. All men are tempted to cheat. And when you start walking with God and you start being renewed in the spirit of holiness, that the spirit of righteousness, the more you're renewed, you get to a point where it's no longer a temptation. If you like, in fact, it's even when you are naked, I'm irritated. Because the mind has been renewed so much, the mind of Christ is imparted. So you can't even attract me with flesh. So don't let anybody lie to you. Don't let anybody lie to you. Don't let anybody. I got to a time where I was like, who knows? And the Lord said, don't ever say that. stay on my word. Sin shall not have dominion over you. You have dominion. And the Lord told me to start saying, I can never do it. That's how. We may have all made mistakes in the past. We all had flaws. But why are we in church? Why do we receive the word of God? Why are we trained? If God will not renew and transform our lives, if the word of God can't change you, then why are you in church? I'm not saying I'm without flaws. I'm not saying that I have never made mistakes in my life. I'm saying this is the mindset of Christ. These are my confessions, my stand of faith that has made me the man I am and continues to sustain me by the grace of God for the man I will be tomorrow. It's your convictions that will determine your conversations. Your convictions will breed your conversations. All men don't cheat. In fact, one of my standards of having covenant relationship as a man, once you cheat on your wife, you can't be my friend. It's not possible. I can't smile with you. We can have business relationships. I can pastor you and be blessing you. I give mercy because I have received mercy. I can be patient with you, try to teach you if you are submitted to me. If you are not submitted to me, I don't correct people who are not submitted to me. That's not my jurisdiction. You must give me authority to be able to teach you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Wave your hands if you're getting me. I will pray for you. I will stand by you. But one thing is, I will never share my life with you. And that's how it is. That's how it is. There is no immoral daughter, no immoral son in this church that is close to me. Once immorality is your problem, no matter what else, I can celebrate you for your gains. I can celebrate you for other areas you've made achievements. That's a father. That's who I am. I won't disavow you. I won't say this is not my son. I'll keep praying for you. I'll keep standing for you. I'll keep walking and teaching and being patient, but you will never be close to me. Never. It's a dishonor to my wife to openly know that a woman, a lady is immoral, and now you see me with that lady smiling, laughing, how are you? And I'm just with that lady. It's a dishonor to my wife, a disrespect to her. You're here, you're a wife, and you know a man is immoral, and as immoral, and you're gisting with him, laughing with him. You're dishonoring your husband. You have no respect. You have no honor. So don't let anybody, well, pastor, well, if Abraham married how many wives? These people married how many? Was Abraham born again? Oh, you didn't know that the Holy Spirit was not dwelling in them and they were not new creations in Christ? Oh, you didn't know. And they had to exist under a provision that all of them had sinful nature. When you hear of Abraham's bosom, you think it's heaven? That until Jesus came, that was when they were set free. You didn't know. Oh, you didn't know. Go to the Bible and get the instruction to the new creation. The new creation now is the one who has the nature of God and has the Spirit of God living in him. That's how you know. So God sets the solitary in families. Don't let anybody fool you. He brings out those who are bound, those who are tied up, into prosperity. And he does that by setting them in families. Then he says, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. Get me any Christian that is living isolated without a family, and I'll show you a man living in a dry land. He should come. Let's talk. And then after talking, let's demonstrate. We'll bring someone who is an unbeliever. Say, preach Christ. Let me preach Christ. Let's see who will give life. It's not talking. Talking is too much. We demonstrate. Wisdom is proved right by her results. We bring someone that is sick. Say, pray. Then I pray. Let's see who will get healed. We give somebody that say, I want to receive the Holy Spirit. Pray. Let the Holy Spirit fill this person. That, because that you're making money doesn't mean you're all right. Kidnappers make money. Are they all right? Ritualists make money. Are they all right? Wicked men. Money and your material success is not a proof of God's blessing on your life or your way of life. That you are having material, the gospel is not about material success. And yet, God has a lot to tell us about material success. The word of God empowers us for material success. But material success is not the proof that God is pleased with you. It's not a proof that the blessing of the Lord is on your life. That means everybody that has material success is blessed. And you that you're claiming blessed because of material success, there are a lot of wicked men, evil men, unbelievers who don't believe in God that have much more than you have. That means they are more blessed than you. We are talking about life. We are talking about true riches that money can buy. We are talking about the blessing of God. We are talking about righteousness. We are talking about the anointing and the power of the Holy Ghost. We are talking about peace that the world doesn't give and can never take. We are talking about rest. We are talking about the hand of God upon a man. We are talking about the gifts of God that no man can give and no man can take. Doors opened by God that no man can close. Are you seeing the evidence and the hand of God on your life? You want to be prosperous? You have to know that there is a way God builds. God builds in families. What did I say? God nurtures in families. God raises men in families. Tell your neighbor, say, do you hear that? All of you that heard that, give God a very mighty praise. I didn't say clap, give him a mighty praise. So let's finish up with Ephesians chapter 2 verse 19. Now, stand on your feet. Hold that one neighbor by your side. And read it to your neighbor, one to go. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Verse 20, continue reading. Want to go? Having been built what? And what?
Prophets.
So he said, this is how God built. God builds on certain foundations. On the foundation of the apostles. These are the fathers of faith. I'm going to teach you there are about 10 kinds of fathers. And there are people we call apostolic fathers. So when you talk about the apostle or the father of grace, is apostle. Paul. The dispensation of the grace of God given to the Gentiles and those who are not Jews was committed to him. And generations after generation, God will raise fathers who will champion the same message and make it relevant for that generation. Those fathers are not just pastors spiritually over a church. God extends their ministry to get to the body of Christ. For example, in our contemporary time, just a few years, a few decades ago, it was Kenneth Hagin. So many of us didn't know Smith Wigglesworth, but many of us knew Kenneth Hagin. It was Kenneth Hagin. Anybody today, millennials, baby boomers, some Gen Z's may never have met him, but anybody today who says his faith is strong, studied, and was raised on the foundation of the teachings of Park Kenneth Hagin. That's an apostle and a prophet. And for each generation, God begins to give it. You are built on the foundation of apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ himself being the chief what?
Cornerstone.
So apostles are standing on the foundation of Christ. Apostles laid the foundation of Christ. There is no other foundation that can be laid except that which has been laid, Jesus Christ. Lift your hands and call his name. Jesus Christ, my Lord. Call his name. Say, Lord Jesus Christ. Call his name. Say, Lord Jesus Christ. No other foundation. So anybody raising you that is not pointing you to Christ but pointing him to himself does not know anything about this. Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. Verse 21. Hold that neighbor and read verse 21 to that neighbor. See what the result comes. Everybody read. Want to go? In whom the whole build, every one of us being fitted together. So when you are brought into the nation of God, he will now set you into families, households of faith. And then he gives you foundation, fathers spiritually that will raise you. When you understand how God builds, you will begin to grow into what God ordained. And the holy temple of the Lord is not sick. You begin to live life. It was a teaching of a man that he has stayed 60 years ahead at the age of 17 and had not had a headache, but was healed of an incurable heart disease, left for dead. The doctors had given the date he was going to die, and how he received his healing, paralyzed on that bed of death. And God, he received his healing by the word. And that word has sustained his health for over 60 years. While he was teaching that, I was reading his book, Keys to Scriptural Healing. And the same light broke as a 17-year-old. And before then, God is my witness, there were no 3 months at least I was not admitted in the hospital. I was a sickly child, a sickly teenager. And the same light, I just celebrated my 45th birthday by the grace of God, and there has not been an occasion for me to take Panadol. Not one occasion. The same strength, the same light came to me. The same light came to me. Why? When God wants to take you farther, faster, he gives you a father. He gives you someone that shows you the way. Because he himself has walked the way. To the glory of God. The temple of the Lord is not broke. The temple of the Lord is not depressed. The temple of the Lord is not defeated. The temple of the Lord is not confused. Without direction. Just struggling to make it in life. The temple of the Lord is not dominated by the enemy. The temple of the Lord wherever you see a Christian who is dwelling in a dry land, attending church but struggling like an unbeliever, attending church but being beaten by the enemy, anytime the devil wants, he brings him down. Whenever he's trying to make any gain, make any headway, the devil knows exactly the move button to press. Once he presses it, he deflates like a punch shot fell at a ball. Deflates like that. Deflates. When you see that kind of Christian, this is the order that is out of order. He's out of order. You begin to grow. Tell your neighbor, it is time to grow. All of you that believe it is time to grow, lift your two hands. Now you're going to make a prayer for 1 minute and make it from the depths of your heart. Say, Father, I submit to your divine order. I open up my heart and receive and connect myself to the spiritual family you have called me to, planted me in. I receive the ministry of the spiritual father that you have placed over this spiritual family. I align. I come under submission, under your divine order. Take a minute and pray that prayer and do it fast. Pray it from the depths of your heart. Leirunde zundayaka. Ebali gete sutayanga hata. Limbrende ketesha. Laridos in the limbra de sata. Le grede suto in the lambaya. Laye porizo branda katash. Lere dos in the lingra de scopa. Lera de kujete ingrede scoprati. Laye borin de keridum manosa. Le brade kujin de limbra nakayara dish. Yes, we submit, Lord. Father, we submit, Lord. We submit to this divine order of being set in your families. We submit to this divine order, the father-sonship order, in the name of Jesus, the father-son order, the father-son order, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. To you be all the glory, to you be all the praise. In Jesus' precious and mighty name we have prayed, and let the people of the Lord shout your loudest amen. If you are blessed today, give the Lord a very mighty clap offering of praise. Lift your hands and shout, I'm growing. I'm increasing. I'm multiplying by the blessing of the Lord. In the name of Jesus. Shout your loudest amen.
Thank you so much for listening to this message by Pastor David Ifechukwu. Follow us on any of our social media platforms using the handle @MyLambWorld or contact us at 806-275-3311 to purchase and listen to more life-changing messages by Pastor David Ifechukwu.